Block fills files for Chapter 11 with up to $500 million in liabilities. After a single $75 million loan went bad, Block fills, a Chicago-based crypto trading and lending firm that served over 2,000 institutional clients across 95 countries, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in Delaware on March 15, 2026. The filing lists estimated assets of $50 million to $100 million against liabilities of $100 million to $500 million. The collapse traces back to a single catastrophic event, a $75 million loan loss incurred during the market downturn in late 2024 and early 2025. That one bad loan set off a chain reaction that consumed the firm over the next year. One loan, 5 weeks, a full collapse. The timeline moved fast once the cracks became visible. On February 11th, Blockfills froze all customer deposits and withdrawals, citing liquidity conditions. 2 weeks later, on February 25th, co-founder and CEO Nicholas Hammer stepped down. Joseph Perry was named interim CEO. By March 5th, a U.S. federal judge had issued a temporary restraining order against the firm in connection with a lawsuit filed by Dominion Capital, one of Blockfills' creditors. The judge ordered 70.6 Bitcoin frozen and required the company to separate customer and corporate funds. 10 days later, the bankruptcy petition landed in Delaware. Release Lainted, Blockfills' parent entity, and three affiliated companies filed voluntarily. The firm processed over $60 billion in trading volume in 2025. That figure makes the gap between its reported assets, $5,100 million, and liabilities, up to $500 million, even harder to explain without the commingling allegations. The Dominion Capital lawsuit and the commingling problem. The Dominion Capital lawsuit is the most damaging piece of this bankruptcy. According to the complaint filed in New York, Blockfills misappropriated and improperly retained millions of dollars in customer crypto assets, commingled client funds, and concealed significant losses. The filing goes further. Blockfills reportedly admitted that customer and corporate assets were combined in one balance sheet. For an institutional lender that marketed itself as a professional-grade counterparty to hedge funds, asset managers, and mining companies, that admission is devastating. The commingling issue echoes patterns from previous crypto collapses. Celsius, Voyager, and FTX all face similar allegations of mixing customer and company funds, with customer recovery rates ranging from pennies on the dollar to multi-year legal battles. Blockfills clients now face the same uncertainty. The 70.6 BTC freeze order suggests the court is taking the misappropriation claims seriously enough to act before the full bankruptcy proceedings unfold. Who backed Blockfills? The firm's investor list adds another layer to this story. Blockfills counted Susquehanna Private Equity Investments, CME Ventures, Simplex Ventures, C6E, and Nexo Inc. among its backers. Susquehanna is one of the largest quantitative trading firms in the world, with significant crypto exposure through its SIG subsidiary. CME Ventures is the investment arm of CME Group, the world's largest derivatives exchange. These are not small or unsophisticated investors. The fact that Blockfills still imploded with this caliber of backing suggests the $75 million loan loss was either hidden, downplayed, or both. Nexo's involvement is particularly notable for crypto card users. Nexo operates one of the more established crypto lending and card platforms, and its investment in a firm now accused of commingling client funds raises questions about due diligence. Though Nexo's own card and lending operations are separate from Blockfills' business. What Chapter 11 means for creditors, Blockfills stated it will stabilize operations, look for new liquidity, and explore strategic deals under court supervision. The company hired restructuring advisors from BRG and legal counsel from Katten Muchin Rosenman. No recovery timeline or estimated distribution range has been provided to customers. Chapter 11 allows companies to restructure while continuing limited operations, but the asset-to-liability gap here is severe. If assets top out at $100 million and liabilities reach $500 million, creditors could face recoveries of 20 cents on the dollar or less, depending on how the claims are prioritized and whether any assets were moved before the filing. The Dominion Capital lawsuit could complicate the process. If the court determines that client funds were commingled, customers may argue for priority status over general creditors, which would reshape the entire distribution. The institutional lending problem, that will not go away. BlockFills is not the first institutional crypto lender to collapse, and the pattern is consistent. A firm takes deposits, deploys them into loans or trading positions, suffers a loss it cannot absorb, freezes withdrawals, and files for bankruptcy while customers wait to learn how much they will recover. The difference between BlockFills and the 2022 wave of collapses, Celsius, Voyager, BlockFi, is that BlockFills operated primarily in the institutional market. Its clients were hedge funds, asset managers, and mining companies, not retail depositors. The $60 billion in annual trading volume confirms this was a significant counterparty in the institutional crypto ecosystem. For users who hold funds on any custodial crypto platform, the lesson remains the same. Counterparty risk does not disappear with professional branding. Self-custody options eliminate this specific risk entirely, though they come with their own trade-offs around convenience and access. Bitcoin sits at $73,276 as of March 16, 2026, up 2% in 24 hours, with the Fear and Greed Index at 40, neutral. The broader market has not reacted to the BlockFills filing, which suggests either the contagion risk is contained or the institutional market has already priced in the firm's collapse after the February withdrawal freeze.